paying attention to world events, folks? Are you paying attention? Do you know what prophecy is? Have you been following men like Steve Quayle, who have really led the way, and I mean led the way, in his radio career, 25 plus years, nearly three decades of sounding the alarm that we are on the wrong trajectory as a nation, as a people. He's a guy that says, hey, you can't, you cannot fix political problems or spiritual problems with political solutions. You just can't do it. And everything that's happening today, if there's any criticism to be held out of Steve Quayle, if anyone would criticize Steve Quayle, it would be a criticism that he sounded the alarm bell too soon. Is that a bad thing? I don't think so. I'll tell you something. I'd want enough advance notice, as much advance notice as I could get, and we had it. We had it. The question is, do we do anything about it? Look where we're at. Before we bring Steve Quayle on, I do want to mention two things. Don't forget, folks, tonight, and you can record this, Channel 367, DirecTV, Joe and I, our wonderful faces are going to be on, and the rest of our bodies, apparently, are going to be on The Coming Apocalypse on DirecTV, Channel 367, this week and next week at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and other markets as well, airing to about, oh, I don't know, a million, million and a half to 2 million people. But before I bring Steve on, I got an email, and this is from this is from Tom Horn. Now I'm going to paraphrase from this. I'm not going to read it verbatim, folks. You know, True Legends, The Unholy Sea. It's on our website. Have you watched it? If not, let me tell you something. The comments from Tom Horn to Steve Quayle and Tim Alberino. Tom says that their new documentary, The Unholy Sea, is on par, and I quote now, is on par with the best filmmaking anywhere. In fact, it's the best documentary I've ever seen. This from Tom Horn of Raiders News Update. He writes, I look forward to interviewing you for Skywatch TV soon. And also, we'll have a feature Skywatch Magazine 5-star review published about the video. You can't get any higher than that. And now, and he says, I'm not saying this just because you guys are my friends. I'm serious. The work is so interesting, and it's as good as I've ever seen it, as the best I've ever seen produced. From content to script to musical score and video editing. And you know, I had Eric look at it with a very critical eye, Eric the tech. And I said, look, I don't know what I'm looking at. I'm not a filmmaker. I'm not a video audio guy. And he looked at it, and Eric said, I'm blown away. It's that good. It's that good. Tom Horn said, Tim and Steve are the future of Christian investigative filmmaking. I don't think you can get a better endorsement than that. Folks, truelegends.com, or True Legends, The Unholy Sea. Go to stevequayle.com and do yourself a favor. Order it. I prefer the DVD because I like to have it in my hand. I like to be able to do all kinds of things. You can order it online as well. But do yourself a favor. It'll open your eyes like never before. And that's all I've got to say. Joe.
We'll bring on Mr. Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com. Steve, it's great to have you back on. Let's get this going.
Okay, it's going to be at the speed of light. Thank you, Doug. The reports we've been getting from all over the world, ladies and gentlemen, we made True Legends, the series number 2, The Unholy Sea, available on Vimeo. so that people all over the world could get it without having to wait sometimes up to 2 to 3 weeks, even first-class mail. We've heard, I think, from 67 to 70 countries, maybe as of today more. The people are absolutely blown away because, see, what God's going to do in the earth, you guys, is not going to be just confined to the United States, not just confined to South America, but everything that's been hidden is going to be revealed. And as I was telling Tim, I said, Tim, there's no way this could have been any way planned by a human, and this had to have been planned by the living God to correlate with Tom Horn's work, all of the announcements coming out of the Vatican, and the times are upon us right now. So, ladies and gentlemen, I have people ordering 10 and 20 of them to give out to their friends, and by the way, this is not an anti-Catholic thing by any means. What it is showing the power that is actually behind the scenes at Malachi Martin and some of the most amazing informed men of faith in that that belief system. When I say that, Catholics are just heralding it because they see it now for what it is. And again, this is more about the alien deception. There's probably some things that are going to shake people up. And for those of you that have never had the blessing to hear the pilot who flew the dead giant out of Afghanistan, by the way, even L.A. Marzulli has interviewed one of the shooters at that. So we've got multiple testimony of what has gone on. And I think it's going to be pretty amazing that just as what I'm going to talk about tonight, the prophetic events and the warnings, the Bible says God will do nothing except he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. In the Old Testament, there were men who were prophets. In the New Testament, there are prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. But it's still one of the fivefold ministries. But ultimately, in the book of Revelation, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. One of the things that makes people crazy, by the way, the interview that we did with Henry Gruber, Daryl and I spoke to Henry about an hour after that interview. He stopped in literally from the highway just to let, and Doug, I had talked to Doug probably, I don't know what, Doug, 30 minutes before Henry was on. Amazing timing of that was unfathomable. It was not prearranged. It was instant. It was spontaneous. And listening to the dragonflies and listening again to the translation of Henry and his men backing him up in prayer, talk about superpositioning. For those of you who love quantum physics, we're talking about God working miracles that are so astonishing that simply, I got to tell you, Doug, I know of no, and I'm not denying there's any other miracles like that, but I'm just saying, what a treat to sit at the feet, literally, of someone who's walked in, I don't know how many countries. You said it on the radio the other night, and I forget. But
I think 64.
You know, 64, and literally, ladies and gentlemen, claiming the ground and territory back from Satan. Now, interestingly enough, I asked Henry in the last hour he was with me, we did the interview from my office, I said, Henry, timing is a question I get asked more than any single question. I said, and you know where I'm going with this, I said, has the Lord shown you a specific time? And here's what he did. You know how Henry will bow his head, those of you who've seen him, and go, my, he said, it can be any time. I'm so concerned. And he said, every time he leaves, he's reminded of, is this the time that the Lord asked him before his vision of Russia attacking the United States at Carnarvon Castle in Wales? If he, Henry, would be willing to never see his family again and trust God, that God would take him to his family to the heavens and they would be together in eternity. And I got to tell you something. He's told that story, and I tremble in the presence of God. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the subject matter at hand. And here's probably the toughest thing, Doug, and thank you for the introduction. But before I even give the introduction, I want to say this. For all of you that sent me birthday greetings, phone calls, wishing me a happy birthday, I just want to thank you so very, very much. You really blessed me that day, and it seems like some of these days get harder and harder. But anyway, the deal is, I just want to thank you all for your greetings and for your blessings to me. And so, as a man who is just overwhelmed with gratitude, and I have promised Doug the Lord, and only he can help me in this, sort of to quit complaining, using the B word, you know, about even the political scene and stuff, and just start to be more grateful than I've ever been in my life. So I want to start out tonight with just thanking each and every one of you. And my prayer for all of you that sent me blessings and happy birthday is that my words can only convey my intent and my heart, but only God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, can bring to pass in each of your lives a transformative encounter with Jesus. See, that's what I pray for those who basically will receive what the Lord has placed on my life, a transformative encounter. And I was up at, I don't know, 3:30. And by the way, if you see me posting on my website, you know, I mean, you talk about random. I'll be posting sometimes at 3 and then go silent for 4 hours or 3 hours, whatever I can crash and, you know, put the Q-W-E-R-T-Y-I, whatever that is, on my forehead, you know. Pretty soon I'll be able to just type on my forehead because the keys are in it. I think you know what I'm talking about there, Doug. But the hardest thing for God's people to understand is to take his word seriously. I have never seen the level of attacks on the word of God that I'm seeing. I've never seen the level of vehemence and hatefulness between brothers under the influence of alcohol, drugs, or whatever, threatening to kick you know what, the part of the posterior on other brothers, damning them, cursing them, and other things that are so egregious that it's even astonishing. But most of all, the problem that I see with Christians, and I'm talking about myself now, okay? We don't believe, number one, that God really is who he said he is and really will do what he says he will do. The person, and I'm even seeing the attack on prophecy. Prophecy comforts, exhorts, and edifies. That's correct. But there is the statement that you can't get away from. Surely the Lord God will do nothing except he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. Okay? Old Testament. God speaking, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because they have rejected knowledge. There is no indication, all right? I've said this before, and I'm going to jump right into it after this a little bit lengthy introduction. There is no indication in the Old Testament or New Testament that God's people were ever in a position to deliver themselves outside of the supernatural intervention of the living God. We do not understand the nature of the battle against us. Most Christians are carnal. They won't acknowledge the supernatural realm, or they get hyper-spiritual, and they won't acknowledge walking out their faith in demonstration of the power and the manifestation of the living God. Henry told me about a man, and I doubt he'd ever listen to this, but he's swift to criticize everything from God. Come to find out, he absolutely, and Henry shared this with a purpose. This gentleman absolutely just thinks I'm off my rocker, but he also thinks Henry is off his rocker. Come to find out, Doug, he was a Nazarene pastor who became so bitter towards God that nothing anyone says or does can get through to him. And I said, well, Henry, here's the thing with that guy. And, evidently he had called him and complaining that Henry never calls him back. Henry travels, ladies and gentlemen, almost continually. And for the record, he turns off his cell phone when he's in the car, when he's in the States, because he wants that time alone with the Lord. Well, when people choose to put God first in their lives, God opens up a whole different walk that most people cannot even fathom, let alone appropriate. And I said to Henry, Henry, as you see the other parts of the world versus the United States, he said, basically, and I'm paraphrasing, they're hungry for God. America has no longer a hunger for God. That's pretty powerful, Doug.
That says it all, doesn't it? I mean,
it really does.
That to me, that summarizes our current state of moral depravity, our spiritual bankruptcy. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
It's pretty devastating. Now let's just deal with all. I'm going to go through some different items right now. I want to make it clear that from the beginning, I wanted America to turn back. 2 Chronicles 7:14. When I got saved in 1972, that was the Spirit of the Lord calling America to repentance then. Jimmy and Carol Owens went across the country with their If My People ministry, and it had a profound effect. It was just probably concurrent with or slightly after the Jesus movement. And ladies and gentlemen, isn't it amazing that everybody fights over religion? Everybody uses this word, that word, but notice how the name of Jesus is forbidden. Well, again, if the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, you've got to wonder then where everything is headed. And I think tonight, the topic that really is on my heart, and look, I'm to the point now, Doug, after you said pretty close to 3 decades, and it is 3 decades if you take the time I've been, talking on talk radio, is the fact that people don't believe that, number one, God is holy. Number two, I'm talking Christians, okay? I'm talking, quote, people that claim to be religious. They don't believe that God judges nations in history. They don't believe in cause and effect. They don't believe that there is a, if you will, a righteous seed and an unrighteous seed growing up together, the wheat and the tares. They don't understand that when light is put out, people stumble in darkness. The difference between what God has called me to do, and I'm not better than anyone. I've tried to be transparent and say, look, I got feet of clay. I got hands of clay. I mean, I'm like peanut brittle, you know. In other words, I have no stand outside of standing in Jesus. And by the way, I apologize for my voice. It just sometimes does this. And it's not because I've been screaming. I physically am incapable of screaming. My vocal cords won't do it. But where everything is different between what I do and everyone else is saying is from the beginning I've declared that God is going to destroy the United States with Russia and China as the active agents. People call me disloyal. They call me an effing fearmonger. They use every form of four-letter words and the convolutions of that. But I will stick to my guns, what the Lord told me. And I'm getting now, Doug, emails daily. I thought you were, you know, blah, 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 and I won't even, you know, infer the words they use, but just trust me. Their heart should be washed out with soap beyond their mouth, you know. Before America is destroyed by Russia and China, God is going to reveal the sins of the leaders to the people and the people's sins before a holy God. Do you remember when I said that the first time on your show?
Oh, yeah. That was back in 2012 or so.
Yeah. Yeah, 2011, 2012. I can't nail the date down, but I know it was 4.5 or 5 years ago. As I was saying that, there was no real Cold War heating up. There was no real Chinese building in the South China Sea. There was no advanced weapon systems being announced, even though they have them, and even though China has made incredible strides. It doesn't sink in that there are a group of people representing the United States, like our hierarchy and now our military, not the former military, but our current military, intelligence, and political hacks are all driven by the same unseen hand of evil. It doesn't matter if it's supposedly the Republicans. It doesn't matter if it's supposedly the Democrats. It doesn't matter. The thing that is astonishing to me is that God raised up a man. And look, you can say what you want about Donald Trump, but I'll tell you one thing. He's known by the enemies he has, and every one of enemies Trump is my enemy. Every one of Trump's enemy is an enemy of the living God because they claim there is no God. I'm talking primarily about the Democrats. and the weenie Republicans, those sissified feminists, and I'm talking feminized, I won't even call them men. What's a good word for them? You know, it's entities, you know, who have their secret meetings in the men's bathroom, and I don't need to say any more than that, and everybody has been compromised, everybody has been, another word, ized, and they all believe that absolutely, you know, they are going to have a new world order. I'm surprised at watching Cruz, who claimed to be a Christian, getting off Air Force One with Obama, saying he's going to vote for Trump. And I don't know how Henry's vision fits into all this. All I know is this, is when Donald Trump says the truth, and the people who claim to be people of the book, meaning the Bible, who believe in the truth, or that Jesus at least intellectually is the truth, will do anything, even go so far as to say it. They're either going to vote, they won't vote, or they'll vote for Hillary. I've got to say something. You're to walk with God, it better be checked. I'm not making a political statement, and God can use Balaam's donkey, he can use me, second best, and he can use Donald Trump, who absolutely is telling the truth. You know, the Bible is very specific that truth is God, that Jesus is the way, the life, and the truth. And the thing is that the world's war against Jesus is a world's war against truth. That's why the Bible, God's holy word, says the whole world lies, L-I-E-S, in the evil one. You know, every single statistic, every single statement is massaged, managed, and what I call vomitized, okay? And the vomit brokers are like the harpies of the ancient Greek mythology, the mainstream media. They're like a bunch of buzzards thinking that they're feasting on Trump's soon-to-be carcass when basically they're feasting on themselves. They will be self-immolating and cannibalized. See, it's one thing to sell everybody on the New World Order. We got to get rid of the all these people, nine-tenths of the world's population, and then you figure out you're one of the nine-tenths, because the devil never keeps his promise. He only allows his word to stand until the eternal moment when people are damned, D-A-M-N-E-D. It's hard for people to put into context that as they look at the political scene, they don't see there's a dearth in the earth. There's 27 fires raging in the west, in desert southwest, even into Montana. The Great Terror, G-R-E-Y, terror, that Jeff Nyquist wrote about a decade, maybe 15 years ago, after interviewing some of the Russian dissidents and some of the Russian defectors, is happening before our eyes. We're seeing now such threatening moves and counter moves that, by the way, I'm sorry, that are indicating that this thing is upon us. See, again, everything that everyone I talk to and take into context, everything that's going down, it's always tomorrow you need to worry about, not today. That's what they tell me. And they'll even quote scripture, sufficient for the day is evil thereof. And I say, right, but do you even acknowledge the evil thereof this day, and are you praying against it? See, this is the thing, Doug, that happens with religious people. The Word of God applies to everybody but us, meaning the person that's got an argument. The person that's got an argument always seems to be louder than the person that has an experience. Anybody who's ever seen Jesus physically, there are thousands of people. I have people fighting me on that saying, nobody ever sees God. Well, I'm telling you, he appeared to the hundreds after his resurrection. He's appeared through history, not God the Father. The Bible's very clear on that. But people won't admit that God is still active in his creation, that the angels of God are making war both for and against, making war for the people of God against the powers of darkness. Scripture commands us. Know ye not that some of you have entertained angels, you know, in the context of always showing generosity to people and entertaining strangers unaware, angels unaware? The thing is that famine is in the land, And I would encourage everybody, I got an email from one of my listeners, one of your listeners, Doug, in Ithaca, and severe drought deepens in upstate New York. Wells dry up, corn shrivels, cities run low, and that's in Syracuse.com. It's not just going away. The chemtrails, geoengineering, that we have absolutely been sounding the alarm for so many years on is taking place. Do I believe in man-made global warming? Absolutely. Do I believe that it's from the reasons that they say it is? Absolutely not. It only takes one U.S. patent. Come on, challenge me, ladies and gentlemen. 4686605, Bernard Eastland's HARP patent, to understand a word, ionosphere, understand another word, heater, put two together, ionospheric heater, and you'll find out that weather control and weather modification is in over 200 patents. 200, Doug. 200, Joe.
Jeez,
and yet the naysayers play on as the wells dry up. The volcanism.
And by the way, we're familiar. You know, Steve, we are familiar with that area up there.
I'll shut up. Bring me back and remind me. We got to talk about volcanism because this is critical.
Okay, that sounds great. Yeah, Joe and I are very familiar with upstate New York and what Steve is talking about. Dead on accurate.
Didn't know about the massive drought that's going on up there. But even here, we had a drought for a long time.
Just
my
amazing.
Grass has been brown for the last 2.5 months, and it's the first time in a few years I remember that. As you know, weather
and of course continues. The DNA modified mosquitoes, all in the name of fighting Zika. And isn't that interesting? We're right back.
You're listening to Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com. He'll be with us through the rest of the show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after these short messages.
I don't think it gets any better than this when you've got a radio legend, author, researcher, filmmaker, Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com, folks, Unholy Sea, the best, on par with the best filmmaking anywhere, true legends of the Unholy Sea. Go to stevequayle.com, click through on the banner, grab a hold of a copy of True Legends, the Unholy Sea. I prefer the DVD edition, but you can get it on Vimeo as well. But definitely watch it because it'll put current events in context. Right before the break, Joe and I and Steve Quayle were talking about current events, and volcanism is up next. Steve, thanks for holding on with us. Let's get right back into it.
Well, before the late Sue Bradley, who is one of my dearest friends and probably one of the greatest minds ever to grace this country, again, she was the research assistant for Admiral Thomas Moore. How she and I hooked up is a fascinating story. When Admiral Thomas Moore was the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, he said to her, he said, "You need to listen to Steve Quayle." And I think this is on my website someplace because she wrote a letter to this effect, because he's the only one telling people the war that's coming, both in the natural and the supernatural. I never got to meet him. He was a brother in the Lord. Obviously, I'll meet him in glory. But why I'm saying that is Sue wrote a fabulous, fabulous treatise on, if you will, essay, but it's more than an essay. I would say this research paper slash treatise slash essay on Anak, the son of Krakatoa. There are two volcanoes in history that everybody has got to focus on that are relevant in the last 200 years to your life. Everybody's worried about Yellowstone, the super volcano. Again, I can tell you this, that that's the least of your worries at this point. Some people say that's an arrogant statement. I say, well, look, I fly with the people who fly all the different seismic stuff there. I talk to people who talk to me off the record that absolutely know what's going there. And for the record, the richest people in the world, there's nobody richer than the people that live within 35 miles, air miles, of the Caldera, maybe 50 air miles max, live in the Yellowstone Club. So, you know, the thing that troubles me, Doug, is that people can't put two and two together anymore, okay? It must be that modern math. The point is, 1815, Tambora went off in the South Pacific, putting so much volcanic ash in the upper atmosphere that literally, the mean temperature of the Earth went cool. I think it was in, 1883 that Krakatoa went off. And Krakatoa is spelled K-R-A-K-A-T-O-A, and not Krakatoa in the dark, okay? I don't know about anybody else, but I have a collision avoidance system that I got to use in my bedroom because I'm always running into something. But the point is that we're talking about the amount of ash, volcanic ash, going into the upper atmosphere. We're talking about, in conjunction with that, for the first time in history, and if someone will do this, who'll go on and go on Volcano World, or just type in active volcanoes and look at how many have gone active in the last, since January. Some of them are smoldering. Kilauea, which I've flown over so many times over the years. Actually, I wish I were there right now. I'm serious. Can't get over there because of other commitments. But the point is that we're seeing volcanoes 3 and 5 a day going active. Popo, Mexico City, went active the other day, and threw that so much ash that it covered Mexico City, one of the most densely populated cities in the world. Whether you go to the Kamchatka Peninsula with Kolosievskoy, and forgive me to those of you who speak Russian, I do not know how to pronounce that. I heard somebody kind of run it together like Kolosievskoy or something like that. Well, that isn't going to work with me because, I can't do that very well. But the point is that never. When I started, Doug, on talk radio, there was maybe one, maybe two or three major volcanoes a year that would get any notoriety or any mention, okay? Sure, there were burps, there were earthquakes, there were some spurts, sputters, and maybe some fumes going, but never the amount of volcanoes going off, with some of the plumes actually going 45, 50, 60,000 feet in the air. Now, what most people don't understand, that's pumice. And then, obviously, there are different silicones in that. There's all types of different mineralization. Sure, there's the standard stuff. There's different types of volcanoes that are going off around the planet. The key is, though, that now the earthquake that just took place the other day in and around Tambora, I said, this is the one that worries me. It doesn't worry me sitting on the rim of the Yellowstone volcano. It absolutely terrifies me what's going on in the South Pacific. I've told the story. The BBC called me before the Banda Aceh earthquake. Stan Dale and I were on, and Stan was mentioning one of the islands down off the coast of New Zealand that goes directly, it has a plume that goes down into the mantle. And I forget the name of it. Maybe it's White Island. I just can't recall it right now. And his sea surface temperature anomaly work is phenomenal. And it was so good that the powers that be, FinMoC, which was the federal, basically the Navy's subsea surface temperature, boy, there's a mouthful, reading and monitoring buoys and satellites and everything, were literally shut down. But before it, he said, we're seeing events taking place. And Stan gets kudos for this because he's the only one of, quote, the people that picked it up. Now, I was talking about Krakatoa at that time, and it was really making me nervous because Anak means son of Krakatoa. And if you understand in the world of the occult, and if you understand in the mythology and legends of so many different cultures around the world over so many millennia, they always associate exploding volcanoes with the release of devils, demons, and, believe it or not, dragons. well, I guess they just didn't know that the Republican Congress was in session, the two-legged dragons. Or if you deal with the, you know, if you deal with the Democrats, you know, the she-devils, plural. So what we're watching right now is literally all hell, H-E-L-L, breaking loose. And that the equation goes like this. Volcanism produces extreme drought. It can also extreme temperature change, coupled with all the nations of the world using geoengineering weather modifications. It's not just us. The Russians have perfected it. The Chinese have probably boosted it. And just for the record, I think most people should be aware that China is going to do their version of CERN with, what is it, seven times higher power? Seven times higher power. They just broke loose the other day. And by the way, I'm not going on a rabbit trail. Tonight's show is to cover everything I know that absolutely you need to know if God gives us the time. The thing that is absolutely perplexing is that, and I posted this question, and Doug, I only share this because it's been the goodness of God that has kept me on the radio. You asked me, and others have asked me. They've asked me, and I think, you know, am I out of my mind to put up with what I put up with? And I've asked the Lord that. I said, God, why could I have not just done what I wanted to do and, you know, just stay out of this? Because, no offense, Lord, it just doesn't seem to be making a difference. But now, after 25 years, I find out how many people were listening all those years, and now after 2.5 decades, they're starting to get it. But back to the chemtrails, geoengineering. There are over 200 patents assigned that are at least open to the public. By the way, Bill Clinton and his lovely bride, you know, Hillzilla, okay, Godzilla's twin sister, Hillzilla, in my opinion, was known for making all of even the secret patents available to the Chinese government for a fee. And ladies and gentlemen, when you're talking about the Clinton Foundation, you're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars. You're talking about numbers that most people can't equate to, and you're talking about numbers that absolutely, and I said it before, rape, pillage, and plunder, the United States has gone under. The joke was, and I think you knew this, that Clinton's had to return $250,000 worth of furniture and the stuff that belonged to the White House, historic pieces, or they were going to be charged. Well, obviously, when you're in that position of power, the mutually compromised cover up for one another. But it was Bill Clinton that gave the Chinese the Loral Satellite Corporation's top secret satellite information, which enabled the first, if you will, Chinese intercontinental ballistic missile. And when the chief of defense for the Russians basically made a statement, he says, we will not allow any outside manufacturing in any of our weapon systems. He was really taking out a dig at the United States. Why would we allow China to produce critical components for our top secret, get it, weapons development programs? Well, it's simple. Because in any electronic device, microelectronic device, quantum device, you can always put a back door in. In essence, imagine this. If you can take over a Jeep and take over its simple system by hacking, what can you do with strategic nuclear warheads, hypersonic missiles, submarine launch control, and everything else? And for the record, we are absolutely watching the decimation of the U.S. military. Now, how does this all fit in with volcanism? Volcanoes can be set off by the same weapon systems that are being used. Sam Cohen, in his late dissertation when he was defense secretary, referred to it. Brzezinski referred to it. And Doug, you know, one of the most surprising things to me, one of the books that was so far ahead of its time that people still don't get it, is weather wars and unnatural disasters. Because in that book, and I think when you and I first went on radio together, that's one of the things we covered, is the ability of the high technology and the advanced technology to generate earthquakes, okay? Obviously Tesla, someone took Nikola Tesla seriously, the Russians especially, and then we got on board later. They took the telegeodynamics, all of the things that basically Tesla, and by the way, Nikola Tesla was a spiritist, and for those of you that understand the Nazis, and please don't give me any of your blather, the definition that of advanced technology, even Dr. Wernher von Braun and another gentleman scientist, who I can't think of his name right now, is stating it's not that we Germans were better in engineering than most, or that some attributed to us, it is that we had help from the spirit world. Do you remember reading that quote, Doug?
Yep. And you know, and folks, Nazism, that and Steve gets into this, your book, Empire Beneath the Ice, as well as Weather Wars, they overlap. Well, all of your books overlap, but those in particular goes back to the Nazis, and you're exactly correct on this. You know, folks, this is why we on this radio show, we talk about this. We talk about the foundational aspects of the occultism and Nazism, and that even branches out into the homosexual agenda. I won't get off on that tangent, but you get the idea. So all of this is dot connecting. Go ahead, sir.
Well, again, the thing is the documentation, but here's the thing. I once was trying to define in the early years of talk radio what America's headstone would be. And, you know, there were a lot of catchy things. I think even did and you guys, this is 25 years ago, forgive me, but I did something where I gave something away to the best headstone slogan, you know. But what I think ultimately it shows is that when America dies, the reason America died, first and foremost, that it forsook the living God, you know, was it Jeremiah who said, my people have forsaken me and hewn them out. In other words, cut themselves out cisterns that can hold no water. In other words, what good is a canteen with a hole in the bottom? What good is religion that can't absolutely manifest the divine intervention and salvation of living God? And I want to share something. When I would talk to Henry and, you know, talk to him on the road and stuff, what's fascinating to me is that God told Henry, you're limiting me. I thought, oh boy, conviction. Hey, Lord, limiting you? Man, this guy's all over the country, put it all on the altar, and he basically is telling Henry to think bigger. Well, Doug, you know, we got to hear probably one of the most amazing miracles that, in my mind, goes into the Book of Exodus. Now, look, I only say this because Henry is a surrendered vessel. I'm not lifting him up, but I'm thanking Jesus for him. As a matter of fact, I hugged him and I said, I thank God for your example to me, Henry, because you're living proof that God hasn't changed and he still lives in the realm that only God can occupy, the supernatural divine intervention of absolutely being the King of Glory. And I'm telling you, my heart bursts forth with joy. And I hope, Doug, that the people that listen to that testimony of his on your radio program were blessed and get re-blessed as they listen to it. I can tell you this, he's been in my home. When I showed him a drawing, let me just cover this because it's important. I see that I think the Lord wants me to cover this. When I showed him the drawing of the fallen angels that were chained, according to the Book of Enoch, that was related to me by a multi-star general beyond most people's knowledge of how many stars you can have as a general, and I gave it to Brian Snowdy. It was his description. When I showed that to Henry, okay, understand this, these events are separated by probably 10 years, Henry said, that's exactly what I saw, Steve. Exactly. Not kind of, oh yeah, it looked like this. For those of you who ever bought the Long Walkers book, you'll see that illustration in the back where they're under the streets of Rome, and the Illuminus of the world and every major leader was there are sacrificing a little child to a living giant. Now we're hearing about all the occult practices that have taken place. And ladies and gentlemen, this is what I guess I'm trying to share. when it comes at us from the left, we can turn right. When it comes at us from the left and right, we can look ahead. When it comes at us from the forward position or the approaching position, and we think, well, we can retreat. When you've got no place to retreat and you're right there, believe me, you don't call Ghostbusters, you call in the name of the Lord. In the book of Jeremiah, you know, the scripture, and this is one that motivates me, Doug, more than anything in the world, is this, and I say it, I make it personal. Steve, if you've run against the wood, you know, the footmen, the cynics, the scornful, the pains in the posterior, I'm trying to be nicer, you know, the absolute character assassination, what are you going to do in the swelling of Jordan against the chariots? In other words, what are you going to do? Well, the answer to that is, I said, God, I already know the answer to that. Thanks. I can do nothing without you. And isn't that what Jesus told us, Doug and Joe? Without me, you can do nothing. I'm trying in the last days, whatever that means, to tell people this. I want for everything God to give us a stay of his judgment. You cannot stop it. I'm asking for an intermission because I wept the other day and I just hung my head and I said, God, your people aren't ready. I said, Lord, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to stand as those brethren of ours who are being beheaded or those women are being so butchered, brutalized. And I'll tell you what, the abject contempt I hold for the female women's movement in America, I have run out of words. I don't even know if I can make one up, because the brutality against women is absolutely, through Islam, is absolutely stands in direct opposition to Jesus Christ with the woman at the well, Mary Magdalene, okay? Every single woman that Jesus encountered was uplifted, and it was a woman who didn't leave the cross, and it was a woman who were there when he was resurrected, you know? And isn't it interesting that the men, you know, were hiding out? Some lady sent me an email saying, well, that's not really fair. And I sent her back an email. I guess I was saying something about the men. I said, ma'am, and most every woman has heard this. I said, if there were no women prayer warriors, there would be no men of God. Unfortunately, that's true. The reason it's true is because before your eyes, ladies and gentlemen, your men, your children, our grandchildren have been emasculated. They can't play with guns. They got to play with Barbie dolls. They got to decide which 31 flavor of sexual preference they're going to be. They've got to decide. And do you see, Doug, what's happening? Not only is our nation being emasculated and being feminized, but the thing is, the will to live has given in to the spirit of Sodom, the spirit of Gomorrah, and our destruction looms. Everybody used to quote Billy Graham, where Billy Graham made the statement, if God doesn't destroy America, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. I know there are intercessors pleading with God as Abraham pled, Lord, will you not spare? And God's answer to every Christian listening to this worldwide is this. Even in the midst of judgment, God's hand is not shortened that he cannot save. God's ears are not deaf that he cannot hear. When people say, God, how will you deliver me? I say this, God, how will you deliver me? I said, Lord, if you're keeping track of my enemies, it'd even keep you busy. And, the point being is that by his spirit. And you know, Doug, people all over the world are hearing the same thing. So I'm encouraging the brethren in Australia. I'm encouraging the brethren in New Zealand. I'm encouraging the brethren in Mexico, in South America, in Latin America, in Russia, in the Baltic states, in China. Don't dismay. God is about to arise and his enemies be scattered. So when all this stuff comes our way, and stuff is a good word, it doesn't offend too many people, then only God can deliver you from the stuff. I want to share this. I've shared it before, and there's two women in my life that have covered my lives with their lives. One of them you've heard me talk about, Mary Juarez, who's with the Lord right now. And I don't consider her dead. I consider her with the Lord right now. The Bible says, seeing that we're encompassed by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race. And to her dying day, how would you feel, Doug, if you're talking to a woman who's got hours to live and she's in her prayer closet praying for you?
Oh, man.
That's pretty humbling. You know,
yeah.
How would you, and listen, I thank God for every prayer warrior. I want to make this clear. When I name people, it's because they have been such a powerful blessing in my life. When Romy's coming to the Whitestone Conference, and some Arnold Henry, and all of you in law enforcement know what that is, you know, is spraying her in a spray plane, knowing that she's been fighting for her life for 10 years due to organophosphate poisoning. Another words, chemical weapons, and then they dump them again on her when she's on her way, or helicopters are flying over her house in Superior, Montana at tree level, and they're filming her, and she's out there shaking her fist at them. God bless you, Romy. The thing is that why are they more afraid of a woman, praying, interceding, and why would they send helicopters and spray planes, the agency's planes, to try and kill she and Steven? I'll tell you why. Because no matter how powerful their weapons are, no matter how clever their devices are, no matter how positioned their assassins are, God is still in control. And ladies and gentlemen, Doug and I were talking, and you know, the difference between people who live in car wrecks and die in car wrecks is the people who are covered in prayer. That's a powerful statement. So when Mary Juarez went to be with the Lord in the last, I think, hour of her life, and I didn't know she was dying of liver cancer, and she told me, I said, Mary, why is God taking you? Because she said, and she called me son, she said, son, I drank a six-pack of Tab every day, and the Lord told me I abused my temple. And she's just a little firecracker. Listen, I watched demons tremble. I watched grown men not be able to hold down a 22-year-old woman who had been sexually given over as a bride of Satan, who had been given by her mother into the drunk hands of men at bars in northern Montana. And I know her father, and I've met the mother, and she was sold into child prostitution at an early age, and she had more demons than you can imagine. And grown men, I'm talking big guys, Doug. I'm 5'10". These are 6'2", 6'4 guys, and they're muscle-bound. They couldn't hold her down because the demons manifested. And with one absolute command of the living God, those things came out of her, the demons shrieking, and the power of God was glorified. Unfortunately, I don't know what became of her. I know this, that as long as she lived, right, she actually lived with us for a while, as long as she sought the Lord, she prospered and lived free. Unfortunately, I don't know what happened to her because she ran away from her dad. Her dad welcomed him back into his home, and even though he had seen the miracle, because he had been abused, her name was Lavani, by the way, so pray for her. I don't know if she's still alive. Her dad had been abused by Christian parents who were absolutely tyrannical in their approach to the gospel. That happens to be my brother-in-law, by the way. The idea of people not recognizing that you can obtain a position in the Lord Jesus Christ through his authority that truly makes the devils tremble. So back to my position. There's so much stuff coming at us, ladies and gentlemen. Look, I've lived with this stuff for 25 years. I have absolutely been on the radio shouting out my lungs, and I'm sorry for my voice being raspy tonight. I've been on the phone all day.
You and me both, and Steve, we're going to give you a chance to rest that voice right now.
Good segue, Doug.
All right. Folks, Hagman and Hagman, our special guest, Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com. And I just want to remind you, if you haven't yet watched or obtained a copy of True Legends, The Unholy Sea, please do so. It puts so much in context. And, of course, Tom Horn giving it praise, much well-deserved praise. Folks, and one more reminder here in a few minutes, 9 o'clock Eastern, you can tune to channel 367 DirecTV to catch our smiling mugs on the coming apocalypse,
our debut television appearance.
Yeah, and we can watch it in spite of us, folks. Hang with us, Steve Quayle on the other side.